This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is the Bish here from the Hump Day Crew. You're tuned into one of our podcasts. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Jill Bennett, and you're listening to the Hump Day Crew on Joy 94.9.
I know you're excited about our next guest, but without my consent, please don't shout, because you'll send me flying. If you're having trouble with the language and I'm speaking a few words too many, just ask yourself, should I call Jesus? And you'll probably find that much change too soon is quite the bitter fruit. So tell me, is it about just sex, or is it about sitting out with tea and sympathy, hoping to kiss the rain, and it all comes down to you? Doesn't matter if you're afraid of spiders and are adamant that opposites attract. Round up the shark and the mermaid, your mother, daughter, sister, lover, and even if it is just a room full of you, hold on tight as we're about to go to a place called Vertigo. I hope you're happy now, because it's the first time we have our next guest on the Hump Day Crew. Coming from a place where Romeo never dies, it's time to roll over Beethoven, and please welcome Billy Myers.
Good Lord, I have to tell you, that is the most amazing introduction. You pretty much named every song, and I hope that you are going to send that to me so I can put that on my Facebook and Twitter and let everybody. That is, like, I got to tell you, that is the most amazing, most original in 10 years that I have ever heard.
Thank you, Billy.
Down. I am gobsmacked. I was like, well, I'm sitting here and you're going, and I'm like, well, how the hell is she going to get Roll Over Beethoven in there? Oh, she did. And then I'm like, oh my God, you really, wow. And I was like, no way, much change. Yep, got that in. I was like kicking them off in my head. I am impressed. No, hands down, I'm going to be like raving about that at dinner tonight. And I hope your listeners realize how difficult it is what you just did. Some of those titles you managed to get in there are not like everyday, you know, there's some gobbledygook. Beyond and Roll Over Beethoven, it's not like, you know, how deep is your love, I love you much. And aren't you just toxic on my radar? You know, you can kind of make those up as you go along, but there you go, having trouble with the language, please don't shout.
Well, at least I know that if I'm interviewing Britney Spears, I'll hit you up for the introduction.
Well, you know, if you're interviewing Britney, just go, hey, Britney, bitch.
Billy, on a personal note, the first time I ever heard you sing was when I was actually 12. I saw your clip Kiss the Rain on Video Hits, which is like the music channel here. And I remember when I heard it, the first thing I felt was, oh, there's a strange kind of connection here. What do you think that was?
I don't know. Well, you were in a long-distance, terrible relationship that was going terribly astray at the time. But you were 12. I mean, unless you started having, you know, love affairs really early on, I'm not sure.
No, I didn't, actually. It was actually quite interesting.
Cause you need to tell your listeners. If you were like, you know, you were a bit of a goer at the age of 12, maybe, I don't know, you know, that's what happens to these people in the entertainment business. You know, they're a little out there. I don't know. I mean, I think one of the things with Kiss the Rain that people connected to is not necessarily the story behind it, but the fact that everyone, I know it sounds really silly, but everyone can relate to simply saying, hello, can you hear me? Everybody has said it, except I, of course, haven't been able to say it for the last 10 years, but everybody, you know, says it. And I think that when something starts with such simplicity that it does draw people in, and I think that might be why. And even at 12, I think you would have had that, you know, been on the phone. And I think that's the relatability of that song. Everybody has their own version of what they think the song is about. But I think that sort of uniform thing of everyone having said those words always helped.
The first time you sang this song was actually to an audience of two.
And I knew them both, and neither one of them are paid. yeah. No, but, and this is the God's honest truth, actually. I don't even know that I've ever fessed this up. That was the first show I ever sung Kiss the Rain at. Yes, it was an audience of two in a room that was supposed to hold 300, by the way. So it was like me and the space cadet over there. But the first time I ever did a radio show, and it was a pirate radio show in Miami, and I swear, this is the God's honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm there with my two acoustic guitar players, and I'm singing Kiss the Rain, and the DJ had a dog. Now, you know, I don't know if you've ever done pirate radio, but, you know, it's sort of on a shoestring budget. So it's basically someone's converted garage. And his dog is taking a poo in the corner.
Oh, no.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm, like, getting to the chorus, and there's his dog. So the beginning of my career was, I was guaranteed success, is all I can say. Two people who are dog poo. Yeah. I'd forgotten about that, actually. I don't know how I haven't mentioned that before. But that is the God's honest truth.
And I thought your most humiliating moment would have been following a chicken hypnotist.
Yeah, actually, thinking about it, I mean, that was really humiliating, because by then people sort of had a sense of Kiss the Rain. At least when I was doing the Pirate Station, I was grateful, you know, just to be having the opportunity to sing and to be like, woohoo. But no one knew who the hell I was, so that was fine. However, when you're following a chicken hypnotist on the Portugal Lottery Show, which is the most watched show at the time in Portugal,
no.
And, you know, first you're kind of like, you know, you're in the green room. And we couldn't, you know, I know I write quite depressing songs, but the truth of the matter is I have a sense of humor, quite a naughty one, and I'm sort of standing there watching this guy, and I kid you not, if I didn't know that chicken was real, I thought I would have thought he was a puppet with his hands, like, you know, inside, sending the chicken to sleep. He would stroke the chicken's neck, chicken would flop, and this was a huge hit. In fact, he got more applause than I did. Honestly, yes, very humiliating. You know, when I look back, I think the most humiliating moment for the two guys, acoustic players that I played with, well, there's a few, but one of for Paul Barry was we're in Brazil, and in Brazil it's great. They always do these wacky things. You walk in, I mean, there's one show, and the woman's a dominatrix, effectively.
Ooh.
And, yeah, she whipping hand and in PVC. It was great. But they always do these weird things in Brazilian TV. So literally while I'm singing, I think it was Tell Me, and the guitarist is playing, they decided they wanted to wax his leg.
While he's playing guitar?
While he's playing guitar. And
ow!
Yeah, I was very happy about that. I thought it was just the funniest thing.
Are you sure you weren't the dominatrix?
I wish. She had the whip. It wasn't a whip. It was a riding crop.
What, pray tell, is a riding crop?
You know those things when you're on a horse? Madonna's making a lot of... She made a lot of use of them.
As like a saddle?
There was no saddle, no.
Oh.
I mean, I think the idea was that it was everybody's sort of fantasy to be the saddle, actually. Bizarre, but the funniest thing about this particular person, and I don't know if she's actually still got a show, is that she claimed to be a virgin.
Oh, really?
And this is the big draw, that this woman, I don't know if she's still got a show, but if you Google it, you'll find it. And, dressed like, I don't know, you know, dressed, Grace Jones would be embarrassed to walk around in this outfit.
Oh my gosh.
But the big thing, the big draw was that allegedly she was a virgin, and I was like, yeah, and I'm the Pope. Really.
And Tea and Sympathy. Now, this is your fourth album. Tea and Sympathy, it's a very, very interesting title, and I know the artwork on the album reflects the title literally. What brought this about?
You know, it's funny now with hindsight, but, you know, I was coming off tour, or coming off certainly from a show, and I was going out with somebody, and I, as you do, all romantic for one mad second, decided I was going to go and surprise them one morning. Because the plane landed, and you know, I thought it would be the Starbucks and the muffin and the kissing, making up. Oh, I've been away. This is going to be mad sex morning.
Oh, yeah.
However, it didn't quite go according to plan. So I phoned about maybe 5-10 minutes away from the Starbucks, and said person picked up the phone, and I was like, I'm on my way. Get off, and opened the door, and said person looks a bit, you know, nervous, gun-shy, but, you know, you kind of put it down to the abject excitement that I am on your doorstep.
Mm.
However, when I heard the person, they smelled, you know, disgusting, actually. And I always say, you know, very bitchily, cheap perfume that could not possibly have been mine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think maybe if I didn't know better, I would have thought it was their grandmother's or something.
Oh, gosh, so that bad, eh? Hey?
The female equivalent of Old Spice, in my opinion. So, obviously, you know, no class. Anyway, so I was like, oh, that da-da-da-da, what the hell? And the other person's like, you know what, you're just paranoid. I can't believe that you're going on like this. I was out at a club. I mean, I could have just, you know, I was talking to people, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, in your mind, you're kind of like, well, that sounds kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe I am just being paranoid. Until I walked into the bedroom, and first and foremost, the bed was really rumpled, and the person concerned only really slept on one side generally. And on the side that the person did not sleep on was a teacup. And on the teacup was a lipstick mark. And the real kicker in the teeth is the fact that there was still lukewarm tea in there.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Hence, Tea and Sympathy, really.
Wow.
Really, I was coming in one door, and the other person was...
leaving in another.
Falling out the window, naked on the other end.
Oh, no.
Oh, no me. I'm hoping they broke their neck as they went out that window. Yeah. really broke a finger or a toe or something.
Well, they didn't get to have tea, and that's always a bad way to start the day.
I'm happy they didn't get to have the tea, and it's a shame it wasn't hot, really hot. Had it been really hot, I think the tea would have gone out the window with said person, and would have been happy about the third-degree burn. Is it all good? Is that terrible?
No. I'm glad that you have a healthier outlet of your emotions.
Yeah, so I get to write a song about it.
Better out than in, that's what I say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
How is this different from previous ones like Growing Pains and Vertigo? How would you say that you've evolved as an artist and your music, how's it evolved since your earlier work?
I mean, I hope it's evolved. Decidedly different insofar as on the very first two albums. I think they are, for the most part, quite live and organic. You know, there's a couple of songs where, yeah, I use loops and so forth, but there really wasn't much of the influence of what, you know, contemporary influence. They were very traditional, I think. Whereas with this one, I decided to, you know, if I was going to do another album, try and make an album that was still me, but hopefully a little more relevant. So I went over to England, and one of the things, and I hope it, as I said, I hope it comes across, is it was very much a tapestry of weaving very modern concepts. You know, the electronica, there's drum and bass in some parts, you know, trip hop in others, very traditional acoustic guitar parts, live drums a lot of the time, and strings. And I think that was a big departure. Also vocally, I think this album was a departure because I was working with, you know, the co-producer, and she's typically English, you know, and rock music really is not her first love. Unlike on both Vertigo and Growing Pains, you know, whenever I would go sort of relatively high, it would be like a big powerhouse sort of, fingers crossed, hope to God I hit the note, but, you know, full voice. Whereas on this one, you know, she encouraged me not to do that and, you know, allow, you know, different aspects and colors of my voice to come through. So I think those two things make it different. This one probably does reflect, in fact, it definitely reflects, certainly, you know, what I would say was probably one of the most unpleasant and darkest periods of my life, after, you know, being dropped by Universal and then spending, you know, effectively certainly 3-4 years trying to get re-signed and just ultimately giving up the ghost and deciding that, you know, my career was over. And that was kind of a big thing. It's very sad, really, but when your identity to some degree is wrapped up in what you do, and it's great, you know, and every therapist you will ever see or self-help book always tells you that shouldn't be the case. And in theory, and the practicality of it is that it sounds great, but most of us are what we do, and that is how we identify. So when I suddenly felt that, you know, I wasn't a singer anymore, and, you know, I couldn't write and all of that bad, you know, stuff, you know, I went on a bit of a downward spiral that, you know, luckily ended.
Now, Billy, on a lighter note, we have a game we like to play with all of our guests. It's called 101 Questions. Now, we're not going to ask you all 101 because we'd be here forever. So we're going to ask you to pick 3 random numbers between 1 and number 1, and we're going to ask you the corresponding question. So hit us with a number.
7, 14, and 21.
Okay, number 7. When did you last cry?
September 2nd.
Ooh.
1st, yeah, because my album came out here in the States, and it was supposed to come out on the New Music Tuesday on iTunes. And I think it was, I can't remember if it was the first or the second, but it didn't come out. You know, I woke up and I was all very excited, and it was 9 a.m. and no album up there, and people are emailing me and like, where's the album? And I'm like, oh my God, it hasn't come up. And it didn't actually go up till 10:30 that day. But I have to say, during that day, and anybody, you know, the truth is, if you know me, I'm like all about signs. So for me, here I am, sitting at home, and I'm like, this is a sign, you know, it's just another sign that I'm not supposed to even be bothering with music. And so that was the last time. I mean, I was bawling most of the day because I was just convinced that this is a sign. God was telling me I shouldn't be doing this. I know it sounds very extreme, and your listeners are probably rolling their eyes now going, sure. But I was, you know, I was really upset. So yes, that's an easy one.
Oh, well, at least now we know your album's out, so it's all good.
It eventually did come out, and it was just a bit of an error, but it was a, you know, when you've worked quite hard for a year and geared towards one day, it's kind of like someone changing your birthday and not telling you, really.
Oh, well, I hope you've had many more happier days since.
I have, yes. It didn't last that long.
Okay, number 14. Who would play you in a movie of your life?
Who would Mel B.
Mel B?
Yeah.
Mel From B the Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Have you met Mel B?
I have met her, actually. met her a few times, and she's really, really lovely. And in fact, quite frequently during the Kiss the Rain days, I was mistaken for Mel B, and I was always really, really embarrassed if someone had asked me, you know, what I did. And I would never actually say, oh, I'm a singer. I would always say I worked for the record company, because it just sounded so really pompous. One time, I was in a pharmacy here, a chemist, and I was actually getting ready to go to a show called The Jay Leno Show. And I was at the pharmacy, and I was having to buy some female products, you know, super, not so... And I'm down there, bending down at the lowest shelf, about to go into the biggest show that I'm ever probably going to, you know, I'd done in my career at that point. And this girl walks up, and she's like, oh, my God, it's you! And I kind of look up, and I'm, like, horrified, because, you know, I'm, like, there I am looking at tampons, and this girl's just like, whoa, it's you. And I mean, really, I probably went 10 shades of red, kind of looked up, and I didn't know what to say. And I was like, this is not the time to really fess up that, yeah, whoever me is, that it's me. So I look, and she's like, Mel, I love that song. And I'm like, oh, you do? Well, you know, we did the Spice Girls. Oh, yeah, I was quite happy to have poor Mel B choosing her tampon in the pharmacy on the way to Jay Leno, because it wasn't me. So I will let Mel B be quite happily be me. I think that she probably has exactly the same sense of humor. Yeah. I probably should stop telling that story, because to me, and go, you're the person who started the story about me and my tampons. Like, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
Okay, question number 21. Who would you turn gay for?
That's a long list. Okay, let's start. Okay, who would I... Well, I mean, you know, sleeping with women is not exactly a new thing to me, but if I had to, like, if I was going to, you know, kind of go home and, like, have to go and beg forgiveness from the Pope, something really not, let me think. Okay, Demi Moore in Ghost would definitely have been a surefire, even if I was like 100% straight. No way I would have turned her down if she wanted to put her slippers under my bed.
What is it about Demi Moore, do you reckon?
I don't know, that pixie little face, all the crying. And then, of course, she went on and did that army movie, and I saw her doing one-arm push-ups. And then she did striptease, where I saw her in a gold lamé outfit going topless. I would have married her. Yeah, absolutely, hands down. Married, and in fact, I bumped into her not so long ago, and she's still as bloody gorgeous as ever, and I'd definitely marry her. That would, hands down, I'm not sure, I'm trying to think.
Are you an Angelina Jolie fan?
You know, I am, but again, you know, yes, I don't know that I would marry Angelina Jolie, though. I think I would just want to have wild month of bad, you know, nasty sex, because, you know,
absolutely.
By the time I come out of it, I'm probably going to be, like, wearing a vial of blood and have cut marks all over me and been hung by my handcuffs somewhere. You know, I don't know that my body could really take too much of that. So I don't know that she's marriage material.
Yes.
Penelope Cruz could be. There are minutes where I think, whew, yeah,
I'm seeing a recurring theme of brunettes here, Billy.
Yeah, well, I got to be honest, it is a weakling. I am a weakling for that, yeah. Dark hair does it's a good starting point, I tell you, if you're going to flirt with me. In L'Oreal Dark Colour, cut your hair short, and you'll be fine. I should probably do that when people are coming into shows, give them, like, L'Oreal Dark, you know, Auburn or something. I'm sure L'Oreal would not be very happy. You imagine their Middle America audience being like, oh, my God, she's dyeing everybody's hair because she can sleep with them. I don't know, that's the kind of advertising they want.
It's because you're worth it. Because you're worth it.
Thank you very much. Hello, I am worth it. You didn't know this, but I just flicked my hair, looked straight into the camera, and gave you that smile with the little glint. I did. So there you go. There's your 101 questions edited and abridged in 3 questions.
Fantastic. Well, Billy, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you.
No, pleasure's mine. And honestly, thank you so much for taking the time. You're actually... you're probably not aware of this, but you were actually the first person to reach out and ask me for an interview. You were. That the email, you were the first person.
Well, I'm glad, because obviously that memory when I was 12 has been seared in there.
Yeah, but I'm really concerned about question number 3 and your memory at number 12, and you at 12 now.
So question...
You were asking me why it was all feeling good for you?
No, it was feeling good for me. I think maybe it was a sexuality thing, Billy.
Yeah, you see, there you go. What you're basically saying to me is you thought I was a hot little chicken and you're like singing there. You're at home going, hey, baby, can you hear me? I'm getting through to you. Come on. So I now realize that at 12 you really were a little goer.
I didn't start. I was actually a late bloomer, but I think when I was 12, that was when I was starting to accept my sexuality.
You know, I'm happy and glad, and I will make sure that, in fact, I wish we'd had this conversation before I did the advocate here. I would have made sure that I let everybody know that, I help bring out a lovely radio host in Australia. And that, you know, I'm available for that. Mondays to Fridays, 9 till 5, if you want to help coming out with your sexuality, particularly if you've got short, dark hair, I will help you. I will struggle. I tell you what, my press person, if they're not here right now, but if they were here, they'd be like, they would be giving me that, you know, when someone, like, puts their hand to their neck and they kind of do the neck chop.
The choking thing, like, yeah, no, do not say that. No. Cut that out, edit it out.
Oh, my God, that's going to come back and haunt you. Yeah, and I'll be like, oh, for God's sake.
Thank you very much.
Really, if you could do me a huge favor, I mean, I can do it here and edit, but if you could get me your intro, that was absolutely brilliant.
I will do that. I'll send you a separate copy of that as well.
Yeah, I'll give you full credit. That will just be brilliant. We'll have you all over Europe on that one.
Thank you very much, Billy. Been a pleasure having you.
Hey, this is Anastasia, and you are listening to the Hump Day Crew. That is right on Joy 94.9.
Hey, it's Ginny from the Hump Day Crew. Thank you so much for tuning into one of our podcasts and for supporting Joy 94.9 and the Hump Day Crew. We will catch you next Wednesday from 6:30 a.m.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.